Good morning. Glad you all could be here this morning. If you'd open your Bible to the book of Mark with me this morning, the Gospel of Mark in chapter number 16. I guess you could say we're going to start our missions conference just a touch earlier than planned. When a pastor asked me if I'd be willing to teach Sunday school this morning, he mentioned maybe something on missions would be good. So we, in our time of preparation, I just kind of looked over some things on missions, and I want to share something with you this morning that is going to be a rather personal lesson. I'm going to basically try and show you some things and walk you through my experience with missions, how I learned some things through giving to missions, and just how God walked me through those things. So what we're going to look at is why I have given to missions. Now, this is going to be 100% personal. It's going to be all my personal experience because everything that's ever happened to me has been personal. So I'm real familiar with those things. And we're going to look at these reasons. Some of them are excellent reasons. Some of them not so much. And God had to teach me a few things through those. And so as we start thinking about Missions Conference, and officially it has not started and nobody has come to us as church members and asked us, what are you going to do for missions yet? But it's going to come, and we know it's coming, and we have to prepare for that. And so as I've started thinking about that in my own heart and life, and as I started looking over some things we might look at this morning, start thinking about, what are those reasons I have given? Now, if you had come to me unexpectedly this week, if you had caught me off guard, caught me shopping in the store or something, and just came up to me and said, hey, Mr. Mike, why are you giving to missions this year? I would have quickly, my gut instinct would have been, because I want to see souls saved. That would be my gut instinct, my first response without thinking about it. And that would probably be the first reason I ever gave to missions, because I wanted to see souls saved. Now, that's a good reason. And if you would say that is my reason, I don't feel that you are wrong. But it is a flawed reasoning. And I'll try and show that through the scriptures here for you. When I first was, as a teenager, got my first job and was first given that opportunity to give to missions, I remember that was my first response is, well, I want to see souls saved. But because that was my reasoning, it caused me to improperly judge missions and missionaries. Because here's what I was thinking. I'm going to give X amount of dollars to missions, and with that money, I expect to receive a return on my investment. I'm giving to missions so that I can see souls saved, and if I don't see souls being saved, then why am I giving to missions? There's a flawed philosophy in that, because then as a young man, as I would see missionaries come in, if I saw a missionary that could not report to our church that they had seen a good number of people saved, then I was immediately chalking them off as, well, they're not worthy of our support because they're not seeing hundreds of thousands of people saved. Because after all, I give to missions because I want to see people saved. And what God had to teach me was that I don't give to missions, or I shouldn't give to missions, to see people saved. As you hear through Missions Conference, and I guarantee I'm not going to be the only one that points to the Great Commission, Mark chapter number 16 and verse number 15, this is what the Lord gave us. This is the Great Commission. This is missions in a nutshell. Mark 16 and verse number 15 says this, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You see, we have an imperative. Our commission is to preach the gospel, whether it is received or not. We have sometimes this flawed philosophy, and we do it with a lot of things. I know I have many times. Well, are our bus routes really making an impact? Well, how many souls are saved? Is our Christian school making an impact? Well, how many souls are saved? Did our tent make an impact? Well, how many souls were saved? Well, it was a lot of money to put the tent up out there. Was it worth 10 souls? Yes, it was. Because we didn't put up a tent and preach to our neighborhood so that souls would be saved. We put up a tent so that the gospel would be preached right here in our local city. And if nobody ever came forward at an invitation, was it worth putting a tent out there? Yes, it was. Why do we give to missions? Not so that we can see souls saved, because when we have that philosophy that God wants us to go out and save souls, then we get into this thought of, if souls aren't being saved, then why are we giving our money towards that field? I believe, and this is a personal opinion, and I will very highly lean on that, that this is my personal opinion, and I could be very wrong on this. But in some of the missionaries that I've met and the missionaries that I've got to spend a little bit of time on the field with those missionaries, I believe personally that some of the greatest missionaries and greatest soul winners God sends to a field that never responds. Because it's easy for me to go to a mission field and see hundreds of thousands of people saved. That's great to come back to a church and report that. But to spend time on a field day after day, week after week, month after month, and year after year, and then have to come back to your supporting churches and say, I'm preaching like I promised you I would. They're just not responding. That's hard to stay in that mission field. That takes a man of God to stand on a mission field where nobody responds. There's a missionary, probably one of the best missionary families that I have ever met. You will have never heard of them. I'm not even going to mention their name to you because I don't want to steal any of their reward, because they've got a big one. As a teenager, I had the privilege of going up and helping out with a vacation Bible school to this family that had been in a village for 15, maybe 20 plus years. As far as I am aware, they are still there. This village in Alaska has 300 people that live there. In one day, our team running the vacation Bible school had literally knocked on every door in the village. This missionary who had spent over 15 years in there, in that village, knows every single person in that village, every single person knows him, and almost every single person rejects him. They don't like the fact that he has a church. But every Sunday morning, with nobody coming to the church, he preaches the gospel. Yeah. And I remember Sunday morning when we were there, it was amazing, because I'm sitting there and I'm coming from my mindset of, well, you're a missionary to win souls, and you're not winning souls. You could do so much better elsewhere where the field is more open. Why are you wasting your time here? And I watched him preaching to nobody from the village, just our team. And he preached the gospel, and I went to him and I said, why are you preaching the gospel? And he said, because that's what God called me to do here in this village. And they might not have heard inside this building, but I don't know. They might come stand outside the window because they're too ashamed to come inside. I don't know what God's going to do with my message. That's not my job. And I stood and I watched that man work with those people that he loved, a very difficult place. Just for an example, the vacation Bible school running Monday through Friday, we had to cancel on Friday because a young lady by the age of 10 died from drinking her own homemade alcohol that was tainted. She was 10. And that was not an abnormality. This is a hard place he's in. As far as I know, when I was there, he had one soul that he could say got saved. Would God send a missionary to a field for one soul? Yes, he would. So giving to missions is not so that I can see souls saved, it's so that the gospel will be preached. A good missionary is not one that wins his field to the Lord. A good missionary is one that goes to the field God's called him to and faithfully preaches the gospel. So that's one reason I started to learn to give to missions, because the Great Commission tells us that we are to preach the gospel across the world. As I came to here to college, there were some great men preaching great messages that were 100% truth. The problem was not with the Word of God. The problem was not with the preacher. The problem was with the one listening and taking it wrongly. The messages were preached, and I was looking last night over so many scriptures on giving and so many blessings that God has for us when we give to him. I will not try and refute that fact. It is absolutely true that when we give to God, He returns that with so many kinds of blessings. Not just financial, but spiritual and a relationship with Him. It is truly more blessed to give than to receive. There is no doubt about that. But in a missions conference as a college student, I remember that I was thinking and praying about, Lord, what are you going to allow me to give this year? What do you want me to give this year? I came from working a job where I was making, as a young man, single, what I would consider pretty good money. And I was able to give what I considered in my own heart and mind a pretty good amount for myself. And then I came to college and had a college bill. Well, when I was at home, my mom and dad let me live at home for free. The college didn't let me do that. I also had to eat. My mom and dad fed me for free. The college didn't do that. Mean old college. And so I was not, and I was only working a part-time job because I was in college. And I still don't know if I was making minimum wage or less than minimum wage because I didn't know what it was at that time. Didn't even understand there was a minimum wage. So I have no clue if I was making minimum wage or less, but it definitely wasn't any higher than minimum wage. And so I'm sitting there and I'm hearing preachers preach that if you give to God, He's going to give to you. And my ears perked up. Really? If I give to God, He's going to meet all my needs? Well, that's a deal and a half right there. And so I looked at my budget and what I made, and I made a decision. And the problem, once again, was not with God's word. Scripture does say, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together, shall men give into your bosom. That is true. But the problem was not with God's word. The problem was with my motives. And so I took what I had, and as little as it was, nothing, I've never given anything to missions that it would impress anybody, ever. And so don't think I'm trying to pat myself on the back here at all. I took what I had, and I said, I think that if I give God this much every week, then He would be obligated to return my investment to Him. And my college bills will be paid, and I am not going to need anything for the rest of this year. I didn't give to God, I gave to get. My reasoning was flawed. Now, it was my fault, it was completely a misunderstanding of the Word of God, 100% me. Now, if you had come to me and you had looked at me and said, Mr. Mike, how much you giving? I'm like, man, I'm really living by faith this year. Look how much I'm giving to God. But in my heart, I knew why I was given that. It was because I wanted God to do what I wanted Him to do. To meet my needs the way I wanted Him to meet those needs. And it went further than that for me because it wasn't just, God, you're going to meet my needs. It was now because God's meeting my needs, I don't have to live in any kind of stewardship or use my money wisely because I'm given to missions, God's going to take care of me. So when I'm hungry, I don't need to eat inexpensively. I can get the most expensive menu item because God's going to take care of me. You know why? Because I gave to missions. You see my flawed reasoning there? You know, there was a problem with this, is that I started to get a little upset at God because when my college bill came due, guess what didn't come magically through the mail? Like those preachers had said they had happen for them. Well, they gave with the right heart attitude. I gave because I wanted God to give to me. And that college bill came, and there was one semester and only one semester that I left and went home for summer and still owed on my college bill. Guess what year that was? The year that I told God, I'm going to give you this much and you're going to give me this much back. And so I learned a lesson that God is not just interested in us giving, He's interested in us and how or why we are giving. Let me give you just some quick examples of that while you turn to Luke chapter number 6. Luke chapter number 6 in your Bibles. And I'm going to give you a few examples of some wrong motives for giving. My motives were selfish, and that is definitely wrong. Luke chapter number 6 is where I'd like you to turn. There's also some poor motives. In 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 3, I'm going to paraphrase here. If I bestow all my goods, all my riches, and give to the poor and have not charity, what does it profit? You see, Apostle Paul says that I could give everything I have to help the poor, But if I don't have any love for the poor, what's it going to profit me? It's not going to profit me anything. Now, wait a minute. How do I take, the Bible says, give and it shall be given unto you. If I give everything I have, what shall it profit me? Well, that's comparing scripture with scripture. God wants to have us give and he'll give unto us. But we need to do it with love. We need to do it with charity. There's also some other poor motives we can use. Matthew chapter 5, verse 24, the Bible says that if you come to the altar and to leave a gift and you realize that your brother has something against you, that what are you supposed to do? Leave that gift at the altar. It's not time to give that yet. Go and make peace with thy brother and then come and give thy gift. God's not interested in us saying, you know, my neighbor is driving me nuts and I know I'm not treating him properly and I know I'm not dealing with this biblically, but God, here's an extra $100 to slide that under the table. Just forget about that. We'll be okay. No, God's not interested in that. God doesn't care about our money as much as he cares about our relationship with him and our relationship with others, because he's called us to reach others for him. We have something wrong. We know a brother has ought against us. God's not interested in us dropping all this money in front of him and saying, here, have. God's more interested about that relationship with that brother. Leave that gift at the altar and go first fix that relationship. You can see in also in Matthew chapter number 6, you've got the Pharisees that the Bible says would make large to-do about them giving, about them dropping off their tithe, about how much they were giving. They'd make sure every person knew that they were dropping money in that offering plate, as it were. And the Bible tells us that they have their reward. They're not going to get a reward from God for giving that, because their motives are wrong. What was my motive? This is kind of taking a truth from Scripture applied to a different principle, but I believe this same truth applies to giving to missions as well. In Luke chapter 6, starting in verse number 34, Scripture is referring to how we as Christians should be willing to give when the lost, those that are unsaved, would not be willing to give. Luke 6, verse 34, "And if ye lend," or give, "to them of whom ye hope to receive, if you give to get, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners." You go down to the bank, they'd be glad to lend you some money. Not because they care about you, but because they expect to give to get. "To receive as much again," verse 35, "but love ye your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again." We don't give to get. We give to give. "Hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest." Notice that the reward, the blessing of giving, comes not because you gave, but because you gave out of the love of Christ. You gave expecting nothing again. Now, what that means is that when I give to missions, it's a good investment, but not if I'm investing in me. We know that the Scripture says to lay up our treasures in heaven where moth and rust don't corrupt. And that's a good investment to give to missions. But when I'm investing in missions or anything else, when I'm investing in God's work and I'm investing in me because I'm expecting God to do something for me, my motives are wrong. So let's continue back into where I was as a college student going home for the summer. And at that moment in time, I owed on my college bill and I also owed on my faith promise. I had not been able to give what I promised God because I had squandered what money he did give me away. And so I had to that year pick up basically the equivalent of three full-time jobs to be able to pay off my college bill, pay off my faith promise, and prepare to pay my next college bill coming up. It was a very rough summer. It was very, very rough. It was a tiring summer. And I remember that I gave to missions at that moment in time because I made a promise. Now, I'm glad that I gave what I promised, because I believe that when I make a vow to God, it's wise for me to keep it. I don't think that was a wrong thing for me to do. I did make a promise to God. It was a faith promise. I promised God I was going to give him this much. And if I can go to a bank and promise a bank, and I feel bad that I can't pay the bank back, how much more should I feel bad if I can't pay God back what I promised him? So I'm glad I did that. But in doing that, I remember writing those checks or dropping that money in the offering plate, hating every bit of it. Now, please don't make me feel like a horrible person. Please tell me you've been there before at least once. You ever dropped it off and you're almost kind of hesitant in doing it because, man, that's a lot of money. Why am I doing that? You know, when we talk about the tithe, it's really easy growing up when you're a young man and somebody gives you $10, God wants a dollar. Okay, but that first time you got that first paycheck over $100, God wants 10 bucks. 10 bucks? Oh, come on. And then the more you make, the harder that 10% becomes because it just seems to get bigger and bigger. It hasn't. It's still a measly 10% that God's asked from us. But then you start giving to missions and you start thinking about all these other things that you could be using that money for, all these things you want. And have you ever dropped that money off not really wanting to? That's where I was at. And how many blessings I must have missed from doing that. Turn in your Bibles with me to 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. God used all this time, this if I was to point back on a year that God taught me probably the most, it was probably this year where I made this huge mistake in giving to missions and a lot of other things. My relationship with God was just not what it should have been. I was working 3 jobs. I didn't have time to walk with God because I was working too much. And I learned a lesson about that, that you can't be a good Christian and not walk with God. Yeah, I know, I'm dumb. But I learned a lot of lessons this year. And as I was going through this process of giving, missions conference came up again. And men and preachers came up and they said, what are you going to do for missions this year? And I honestly had to look at it in my own honest opinion and say, I hated giving to missions last year. I did not enjoy giving to missions last year. And I really don't want to give to missions this year. And so God had to work in my heart. And I remember a preacher getting up and reading and preaching, and I don't remember exactly what he said, but I remember this verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Let me pause for just one moment, and I guess make sure you understand that I agree that God's word is true, is that when you give, he will give unto you. Just sometimes he doesn't give unto you the way you want him to give to you. He has something better in store. When I look back at this time and I was thinking and I was praying about it, I realized, yeah, I gave to God and he didn't give me what I told him he should give me, but I got a lot more that year. I got a lot more in my relationship with him from that year. I got a lot more in my understanding of giving from him that year. That was worth a lot more than paying off my college bill. And so I just want to say that, hey, it is true when the Bible says that when you reap, you will also sow. I just, when I sowed, I reaped something better than what I thought I was going to get. All right, picking up verse number 7. Every man, according as he purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly. That hurt because I have been given all summer long grudgingly. I was begrudging the fact that I had to give this. I made this promise and I was regretting the promise. Not begrudgingly or of necessity. I'm given to missions because I'm a Christian. I have to. Now, I believe, I see throughout scriptures, just married through the scriptures very, very clearly, the truth that we should give towards missions. We should give towards God's work. You see tithes definitely imperative we give the tithe. You see offerings over and over and over again. I believe it's something we should do. But I also don't believe that at any point in time in the scriptures does God say you are required to give to missions. It's not of necessity. You're not required. God does not say you have to give to missions. God does not say you have to give your tithe to go to heaven. It's not of necessity. And so I'm looking at that, and this verse is brought up to me as a young man who is struggling with giving to missions because I've had a rough year. And I had to pause within myself and once again ask that question, why am I giving to missions? Am I giving to missions simply because I made a promise and because I told God I would and because I have to? It's not a good reason. Am I giving to missions because it's a good investment and I expect God to give back to me? Well, it is a good investment in heaven, not a good investment in me. Am I giving to missions because I want to see the gospel preached? Well, that should be true. And this question came across my mind. Why do I care that the gospel is preached in Iceland? Why do I care that the gospel is preached in Argentina? I don't know anybody that lives there. Why do I care? Now, in my human attitude and completely in my flesh, I'm going to be honest with you and say, I don't care about people in Spain. I don't care about people in Greenland. Now, that might be a horrible thing of me, but that's just a fact. How often do I think about them? Not often at all. So why do I care that the gospel is preached to them? Why should I care? John 3:16. For God so loved the world. I had to come to a realization. There's one true truth that I needed to get a hold of that permeates and melds itself throughout my entire Christian walk and why I do everything. Because I happen to be in love. I happen to be in love. Let me try and illustrate this for you. I don't care about flowers. I never walk into a store and see flowers and go, oh, they're so pretty, I want to buy those. Never once. But have I spent money on flowers? Yes, I have. Is it because I think flowers are awesome and worth the money? No, I think they're a waste of money, quite honestly. I think they have the prices jacked up on flowers way higher than what flowers deserve. But have I spent more money on flowers than I think probably is justifiable? Yes, I have. Why is that? Because I happen to love somebody that likes flowers. So why do I buy flowers? Why would I waste my money on flowers? Because I love somebody that likes flowers. I don't care about purses. I especially don't care about purses with fancy flower patterns that I really don't even think are that good looking. I just don't like them personally. And I especially don't care about the name brand that comes with them. It means nothing to me. But if I spent money on a purse that was way too much money because it had a name brand on it? Yes, I have. You know why? Because I'm in love with somebody that loves those stupid purses. I don't get it. You see, it's not about what I'm buying. It's about who I'm buying it for. Why should Landmark Baptist Church give to missions? Why should we care? Because we happen to be in love with a God that loves the world. With a God that has asked us to preach the gospel to every creature. Why do I give to missions? Because I love Him. Missions is a very unique opportunity. God has given us so much. God has blessed us immensely. And if we take the time to just sit back and count our blessings, we have to admit that God is good to us in spite of ourselves. How often do we get to give to God? Missions is the very heartbeat of God. God loves the world. God moved heaven and earth to see the world come to him. If you could look at God's Christmas list, what would be at the top of that list? I want to see souls saved. I want to see the gospel preached. I want those across the globe to know me, because there are so many that are sheep without a shepherd. And we have the opportunity to give something to God that is most important to him. Now, my little bit might not mean much. That's why I'm real quickly here in the few minutes I have left. I want to look back at 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 7. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart. Faith promise is unique because God doesn't put a percentage or an amount on it. God says, I'm going to let you decide how much you want to give to missions. And one person might look at their budget and they might look at it and say, I can afford a dollar a week and that's all I can afford. But God knows the heart behind that giving. God knows the sacrifice behind that giving. And it's very possible that a $1 bill dropped in the offering plate once a week, once a month, could be worth more to God and mean more to him than some of that drops in $1,000. Because he knows the heart behind it, as he hath purposed in his heart. Many times I have had the fault of coming to missions conference, holding on to my checkbook as tightly as I could, saying, all right, God, how much do you want out of me this year? How much better would it be for us to approach missions conference when a man will stand behind that pulpit and ask us, how much are you going to give to missions this year? And instead of looking at it going, how much do you want me to give, God, to look at it as going, God, I know you love the world. How much can I give to you? How much can I give just because I want to tell you I love you? I know you love them. Honestly, I don't care about them, but you do. And because I care about you, it makes me care about them. It's nothing because of me, it's because of him. When we look at missions this year, when we take that missions card and we honestly go into our prayer closets and say, God, what am I going to do for missions this year? What would you have me to do? Let's instead look at it as, why am I given to missions? I'm not given to missions just to see the gospel preached. I'm given to missions because I'm in love with a God that loves the world. And I want to give as little as it might be. I want to give something